letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. What we're going to do tonight and coming up in some studies is going to be some excellent examples of one of the things in regard to studying something like spiritual love and the impact of spiritual love as a force, has impact, and it has effect. And what, how does that interpret in my life? And how does that function? And how do the things that we're going to be studying in 1 Corinthians 13, the 16 impacts of love, what do they look like? We're going to be studying what spiritual love looks like, what spiritual love sounds like. And we got some good examples tonight to, if you'll stay with me in seeing some different things, different aspects in regard to spiritual love. And it's just amazing how simple God has made the Christian life. It is not complex. It is a battle to walk by faith, and therein lies the battle. The battle is not in complex learning. Listen, it is not in complex learning. It is not like when you and I were in school, and as we continued in math, you go from your regular math, and then you start taking algebra and geometry, and trig, and you just keep getting more complex. That isn't true in the spiritual life. It isn't true. It isn't a matter of learn more and deeper and all these things. It is. It's just that the battle gets tougher to walk by faith. You finally reach that point that was said on Sunday morning where God says, go kill your son. Now, that doesn't take any more of a what we'll call study, but it is the testing of faith that has reached that point. So the spirit-filled life and how the Holy Spirit pours in the divine mind, and they're all covered under spiritual love, and all the things that Scripture says, especially in the New Testament in regard to spiritual love, the impact that it'll have in your life. So let's spend a few moments in prayer. People just always are buying books. They're trying to learn, trying to get therapy, counseling, understand the human nature, understand the way men are, the way the women are, the way young women are, the way young men are, and the way older men are, the way older women are, and after this and before that. You don't need all of that. I mean, they didn't have it. And Paul was living the Christ-like life. Don't need it. What we do need is trust. I don't really trust that it's all there in the Bible, so we have to go to a lot of other things, study a lot of other things, other books, to see it. No doubt. But that trust, walk by that faith, powerful. And let's spend a few moments in prayer. By the way, do we have any prayer requests that have come up since last night that we need to be aware of? Okay. To be in prayer for Sue Bayless, a man that has a interesting contact and relationship over the years, pastor when Sue and her husband were just little children died, and it's brought about a lot of opportunity for some family and interfamily witnessing and interfamily impact. So I want you to be in prayer for Sue and June as they go to the funeral Friday, and that's where you and I get to go on that trip with them, is through prayer. And remember all the things that we prayed about last night and mentioned in prayer. But right now, let's get ready to go into the battle so that we can see and allow the Spirit. People, it's not a matter of studying hard. It's just a matter of allowing the Spirit to illuminate these things and reveal and open these things to us that we can see them. So let's be sure to test ourselves that we're in the faith and allow Him to teach us. Let's pray. your love that sent your son to the cross. Your love that believers pray to in Scripture. Trust your love for deliverance and salvation. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will take us now into the depth of seeing the understanding of this love. This love is beyond our human understanding. The Father, we pray that the Spirit will take us into this realm that we can see that if we truly, truly want to be transformed into the image of Christ, it means to be transformed into this love. And when we find out what it is, maybe we're not so hot. Some are not so fast to want to be transformed because it will make such demands as it made on you to offer up your son and as it made on him to offer up his life. And so, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will reveal these things to us and let us see what's going on in regard to this life. We pray these things now, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, let's dive into where we are. And where we are in this particular segment of our study, we're dealing with human relationships. All human relationships that we're involved in. We start out with some of the most fundamental, and that is husband-wife. And I'll put romance leading up to that that some people are in. Then we move into family, which involves parent and child, regardless of the age of the parent or child. But I'm just talking about a time frame when they're small, but as we get older, sometimes the testing figure switches. When we're real young, the great testing of love is up here, and then as we get older, then it bears on us in regards to dealing with them. They put up with us all these years, and we forget that. And so this thing comes, and then there's just all the other human relationships that are involved from the concept of family and the concept of friends and especially the local assembly, the local church, and our work and all the context that we have. This is very important in the whole plan of God is the human relationship. We're not an island unto ourselves. A lot of times people really want to be. You know, I wouldn't mind living if it wasn't for people. And want to go off and be a little island unto myself and just take my Bible and just go somewhere in Colorado and I'm going to hide and it'll be God and me. And, you know, you're me, God. That's it. And I'm going to be perfectly content. And that's no battle. The solution is not to run. The solution is to allow the love of God to flow through. So what we're dealing with is human relationships. Now, we come to the great question. What is it that is going to guide me in any and all of these relationships and combinations thereof? Because it gets very complicated in the Christian life. And what is going to guide me? And what people like to have, what a lot of people like to have, is I like to have it nice, concrete, laid out, so it's boom, boom, boom. And that's why a lot of people like law. This is one of the comforts of law. Law's laid out for you. Law just says, do this, 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 this. Sometimes we ought to spend some time just reading through the law. People, there's a law in the Old Testament, the Mosaic law. You're hiking along a path in the spring, enjoying the weather, and boom, there is a bird who's fallen out of its nest in the road. And the law tells you what to do. It's just astounding. I don't have to think, I don't have to do anything. Just, and a lot of people like that. I like to just know what to do and do it. Boom. Just discipline yourself and get yourself in line with that. They don't have that in church. What's going to guide me? doctrine's not going to guide you. That's what we're seeing right now in 1 Corinthians 8. You can spend your whole life learning doctrine. It's going to guide you. Doctrine doesn't tell you what to do in every given little circumstance. What did God give us? He didn't leave us alone in this area. And what God has given to us to guide us in all of these is spiritual love. This is what He's given to us. Spiritual love. This is why, like faith, like the Holy Spirit, this is why Satan has made this so obscure and just so sloppy that very few clearly understand what everything's going on. He's just done a great job in steering people away from the Holy Spirit. He's done a great job in making love just sloppy, whatever you want it to be, and all of that. He's done a great job in just going through and mutilating faith. Faith in faith. Faith in what you do. What's really the object of faith, and where does faith fit in? All these things. He's done a wonderful job. But what we're looking at is, what is the scripture talking about when it talks about this love? Okay, 1 Corinthians, and we're looking at 8:1, and we're coming off of our study, taking a brief moment here, coming off of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, which deals with, if I had all the knowledge and understood all the mysteries, the whole of knowledge, the whole of the mystery. In other words, you understand it all. And you would think, that's it. That's the key. If I could just learn it all, I'd have all the answers. No, you would not. Without love, Paul says, you're nothing. People, I want that to sink in. You understand the whole of knowledge. You understand the whole, all. That's what the word all is. All mysteries. You're nothing without spiritual love. That's a quietening thought. It's an alarming thought. Now we're taking from that to where we are here. Let's see what we're dealing with here. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, concerning the things sacrificed to idols. Okay. Human relationship. We got a problem. And you just pick this one. We just pick any number of things that you're going to come in contact in your relationship with people. Husband, wife, parent, child, friend, assembly, wherever you are in life. All kinds of things are going to come up. It's just one. It's not our problem today. The concept. Stay with the concept, not just a specific example. Now concerning the things sacrificed to idols. This is going to present a great problem. We know that we all have knowledge. He starts off with that premise. Okay, all right. We all have knowledge. You have knowledge. And I have knowledge. Everybody has knowledge. That hasn't solved the problem. You think if there was an assembly like the Corinth, where everybody had knowledge, that'd really be, there'd be no problem. There'd be no divorces. There'd be no fighting, bickering. Let's do it. Everybody had knowledge. That isn't the case. Because that's not going to die, people. Not going to die. Let's take a look. Okay. We know that we all know. We know that we all have knowledge. Now look what he says next. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge makes arrogant. Just take knowledge, put it there, boom, it makes a person arrogant. I'm a little above everybody else. You could fool people with your knowledge. You feel confident with your knowledge before God. Makes you arrogant. Look what he says. But love, spiritual love, edifies. Remember, spiritual love is a force. What is he saying now? Spiritual love edifies. Now, spiritual love is a spiritual force, and as a spiritual force, it has the properties of a force, which are direction, magnitude, and some form of an impact or effect. It has some form of impact or effect. And right now, what is one of the impacts or the effects? Spiritual love edifies. This is what he's saying in our text here. And we have already, last Wednesday night, we've noted spiritual love edifies, and we studied, it edifies first of all and foremost. It's got to start here. Spiritual love edifies you. People, if it doesn't edify you first, it isn't going to be able to do the rest. So it edifies you. Then we saw that it edifies your relationships. Relationships that you have in life. All relationships. Spiritual love edifies every relationship that you have in life, starting with your relationship with God, your relationship with believers who are in close proximity to you, believers who are distant proximity, and unbelievers. It edifies. Spiritual love edifies, builds up. Spiritual love is a perfect building material. This is where we ended last week. The Holy Spirit is a perfect builder. Spiritual love edifies every relationship in life. People, how do I know what to do? Do I do this? Do I do that? How are you going to know? Well, spiritual love, as we're seeing, is what's going to guide. Spiritual love will guide if we will allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. So here Paul says that spiritual love edifies, builds up you, builds up relationships. This is why in Colossians chapter 3, we don't have time to turn there, but we have before, Colossians 3:14, and beyond all these, and he's just given a phenomenal list, and beyond all these, put on love, which is, love is, the perfect bond of unity. Perfect bond of unity. People, start getting, if you haven't already, into your thinking what God is all about. God is all about reconciliation. He is all about reconciliation with the angels and himself, and with man and himself, and with man and each other. This is what God is about, is this relationship. So he says that, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And I'm only emphasizing this because people get lists in their mind. He doesn't say doctrine is. He doesn't say purity or righteousness or morality is. He doesn't say that emotionalism is. He doesn't say that service is. He says love. I didn't write this. This is God's word here in its truest sense. It's spiritual love. Now there's one more area where spiritual love edifies. And I want to deal with that. This is relationship. This is where we kind of enter this discussion. But I want you to think with me in another level in how does this happen. So point three, spiritual love edifies you. Spiritual love edifies relationship. Actually, what I'm going to put down is three. It should be two. And if I'll rearrange this in my own notes, but this is the way it's come to us in our study. And the third one is, it edifies others. Spiritual love edifies others. And this becomes very important. And I want to show you how. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 13. We'll keep going to that because I want you to begin to start seeing how this thing called love and spiritual love and how it all starts working together. In other words, we're going back to that question, how does all of this work? I like to ask that question. I like to ask two questions now when I study. Why and how? And let's take a look at how does love edify? We'll be looking at this throughout our study. How does love do this? So I want to give you one example. Later on, we'll look at some other ones. But let's look at chapter 13, verse 4. All right. Love is, let's take a look now. What we're doing, stay with me. We're looking at spiritual love edifies, 1 Corinthians 8:1. It edifies you, it edifies relationships, it edifies others. All right, let's see how this works. First of all, in verse 4, it says that spiritual love, and that which we are in the midst of studying, spiritual love is long-suffering. Now, what I want to point out to you is, this is explaining our phrase, love edifies. Long suffering is inside you. It's inside you. The long suffering of spiritual love is inside of you. Okay, now watch what happens. Here you are, and here is another believer. Let's make it a believer. This believer hurts you, attacks you, does you wrong, whatever it may be. They are, so we can really take this to the jugular, they are out of line, they are out of the spirit-filled life, and they've hurt you and they've wronged you. This is what they have done. Now, the first thing that spiritual love does inside your soul is to form this immune system around you. And we studied years ago, and we'll take a quick look at it, how spiritual love is a spiritual immune system. It causes you to be immune to this. Now, what does that mean? Let me show you how love works. By causing you to be immune to that and not allowing it to penetrate, you maintain your spiritual life. You maintain your walk in the Holy Spirit. You don't react. You don't get out of here with some anger or vengeance or whatever it may be. So the first thing that it's done is what? It's edified you in the midst of this crisis. It can be husband, wife, whatever you want to make it. So, spiritual love, the first thing that it does, I'm putting that long-suffering into action for you. First thing that it does, it edifies you. Long-suffering edifies you so that you don't lose your spiritual life. You're not destroyed. Your spiritual life is not destroyed temporarily by that. You're able to maintain your walk in the Spirit. It's an awesome thing that God has given to us. It's not a matter of mental gymnastics. It's not a matter of knowledge. This is what love does. Remember, the subject of the verb is love. Not you, not me. It's love. And when the Holy Spirit's pouring this love in, it will cause you to be long-suffering, and that means you are edified in your soul so that this doesn't get you all bent out of shape. So instead of anger, long-suffering. Instead of vengeance, long-suffering. Instead of hurt or self-pity, whatever whatever cause you to be. Some people go into self-pity. Some people go into anger, vengeance, control, get even, react in some way. Long-suffering, now you're edified. Spiritual love will not allow that to happen inside of you. You maintain your spiritual life back. About the other person. Well, who cares about them? I got to take care of me. People, spiritual love has a responsibility to others. The responsibility of love to you and responsibility of love to others. And I want you to get this in your mind before you decide you want to be transformed into the image of Christ. Just as much. And I mean that. So I'll show it to you. Just as much as spiritual love cares about you, spiritual love cares about others. That's what spiritual love will do. The flesh will not do that. But spiritual love will. They have a general attitude. They're going to have to handle themselves. Let them go get themselves worked out there. Let them do this. Let them do that. Let them go get straight with God and all the rest of it. It's not my responsibility. People, it is. It is. It is. It is the responsibility of love. Let me ask you a question. God the Father looks at you headed for an eternal lake of fire and says, they're not my responsibility. Now, you try that. See if you like it. What if Christ would have loved you that way? Well, their problem is not my responsibility. Would you like that? You'd go to hell and get burned forever. You better thank God spiritual love doesn't just take care of itself. What spiritual love does is it cares about others. It has a responsibility to others. Spiritual love, the divine love, the love of God saw us headed for a lake of fire and said, I've got to offer my son. This is spiritual love in action. So what about others? What about the other Christian, the one who has wronged you? What about him? Spiritual love is not just concerned with you. Spiritual love is vitally concerned about others, about their spiritual life, about their walking in the light. Therefore, spiritual love most desires them to be reconciled to God also. It desires that. So what's now going to happen with spiritual love? What's the next thing? It says love is kind. Love is kind. Now, what does that do? Think about this. People, the kindness of spiritual love is designed. It is designed to lead this believer who's wronged you, to lead this believer and to create an environment for this believer to be reconciled with God and come back into the spirit-filled life and walk in the light like you're in the light. It's designed to do that. That's what the kindness is about when we get to it. If yours is a kind of love that just takes care of you, do not tell anybody you love as Christ loved. If your love is a live and let live love, do not tell anyone you love as Christ loved. If you don't want your love to impose on you and your life, do not tell anybody you love as Christ loved. Don't lie to yourself. Go on and have that kind of love. But don't call it the love of Christ. You won't find him living and let living. He went to the cross for you. So we have to understand what this how this love edifies. And what this kindness will now do, the reason the kindness flows out, this is inside, this is outside, and this flows to this person that's just wronged you, and it creates an environment for that person, if they will, and not always, maybe rarely, but if they will, because of your kindness, not your straightening them out, not your bracing them, not your teaching them all that you know, not you sweating them into the wall. No. Your kindness is going to create an environment that's going to make it very easy and will also lead them to go back into the spirit-filled life. Look with me for a moment at Romans 2. I want you to see how all these things, how it just, as we start seeing all of the things that start fitting together with spiritual love and how this spiritual love works. Look at Romans 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Take a look at it. Romans 2, 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness? Not just his kindness, the riches of it. It just oozes over. It oozes over. I used to use this example of what the riches of his kindness is. Is this little boy is watching mom make chocolate cake. I mean, you got a bunch of boys. You got to learn how to make chocolate cake. And some people make a chocolate cake really, really nice. I mean, here's the cake, and then they take the icing. And boy, it's just perfect, and it's smooth, and it's showcase. Who wants it? What little boy wants it? I'll word it that way. Maybe somebody wants it at their wedding, but what little boy wants that? I love is the way mom iced the cake. She took the pan with all that fudge and the nuts in it and everything and poured it. And it just oozed over the plate, over the cake, on the plate, and on the table. And that was our first area of attack. We were allowed to take our finger about the part that had fallen on the plate, off the plate. Then we were allowed the plate. But if we got our hands on the cake, we got... But we were allowed that rich part that just eased over. That's the kindness of God. It just oozes over. It's so rich. Okay, let's see what it does. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing, now the word lightly, I'll come to it in a moment, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. I like the NIV here. Let me read it again by NIV if you don't have it. Do you show contempt? The NASB says, think lightly. The NIV says, show contempt for kindness. A lot of people have contempt for kindness. They may not say so, but in their soul, people have contempt for kindness. King James is very close here with the Greek word, despise. Show contempt, despise for the riches of his kindness. It gives you a better idea of what the word means. Is that contempt we have for kindness. But what is the kindness of God doing? It's creating an environment that will lead. People love leads. Love leads. I know it doesn't sound John Wayne. I know it doesn't sound powerful. But there's nothing more powerful than love, because love defeated Satan at the cross. Love redeemed us. And love satisfied the essence of God. You show me something more powerful than that. It leads. This kindness leads. It creates an environment. So, let's bring us to where we are in our study. So you are in a conflict, and this believer offends you, hurts you, something, whatever it may be, doesn't do something. All right? First of all, you don't lose your spiritual life, because the first thing that generally will happen is we get out of the spiritual life ourselves, because this has made us angry. This is not the way we planned on the day going. This is not the way we planned on the relationship going, whatever relationship it may be. We didn't plan it this way. Boom, this hits us. So generally, we crash out to straighten them out. So the first thing love does is edifies you. It holds your spiritual life intact. Now, secondly, it creates an environment with its kindness that will lead this person back into the spiritual life. People, if your objective is you, and you controlling things, and you getting your way, and you getting what you think is best, and all the rest of it, then forget it. Forget this whole teaching. If your objective is other person's relationship with your Savior, if that truly is your objective, their relationship with your Savior, then spiritual love is what it is. Because it will create an environment that will take them back, lead them, allow them. What happens so often is they hit, we counter, they counter, and it just goes on and on. We create an environment now for battle. We create an environment for who's going to be the strongest, who's going to control whom, who's going to get their way. We create an environment. Spiritual love creates an environment. Spiritual love creates an environment that is now going to lead them and allow them. And I want to word it this way, but I don't know another way to make it as emphatic as I want to make it. It allows them to move back into the spiritual life and save faith. We just always got to be on top. We always got to be right. We always got to have people bend and, okay, all right, you're right, I'll go back. I'm out of line. Well, spiritual love doesn't do that. It makes it very, very easy for that person to move right back into the relationship with love. So it edifies them. Because, see, now they're not edified. We started off with them out of the plan of God, and that's why they have done this. What I want them to do is to be back here. I don't care what they've done to me. People, what they do to you, please understand me something. When your husband, wife, friend, parent, child, at the local church, about does something wrong, really wrong, in the true sense of wrong, that's the old man. That's not the person you're going to spend eternity with. Remember that. When your wife, your husband, your friend offends you, and they're wrong, that's not the one you're going to be spending eternity with. I want to tell you that right now. You're going to be spending eternity with the new man, not with that one. So what we desire, if love is flowing, I desire for you to be in proper relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you can be in proper relationship with Jesus Christ, so that you can be in proper relationship with God the Father. And if you're in proper relationship with the Godhead, then you and I will be in fellowship with one another. That's what 1 John chapter 1 is about. Any questions? Does this make sense? What's happening here? This is what love does. We're taking a moment to show you in action what actually is happening. So if you react, if I react, when a believer does this, now I'm out, I'm destroyed, and I'm using that word, setting you up for a study coming up. I'm destroyed. My spirit life is destroyed for that time being. I'm dead spiritually for the time being. So all this is going on. I'm out, all because no spiritual love. If we react. But if we have spiritual love, it edifies you. It makes you long-suffering. And so if I do this, I'm out. And now that I'm out, the flesh is going to take over. And whatever ways, everybody's flesh is going to work differently. Some people are now going to make it very power play and very vengeful. Other people are more, a little more subtle. They're more conniving, and they're going to think their way of how to get even with you. They're going to start building this thing to start destroying you. And it just goes back and forth, and boom, it becomes very, very ugly. Ugly. The environment is ugly. Very ugly. Even to the angels, it's ugly. Very ugly. So, what do we want? We want an environment that is not going to be ugly. We want an environment that is going to be Christ-worthy. And spiritual love will cause you to be concerned about the other person. That's what it does. That's why this word, people, it edifies. Look at verse 5. Spiritual love does not seek its own. People, that's just powerful. The flesh seeks its own. Arrogance seeks its own. I'm out for me. Spiritual love does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong. See, there's nothing else that can handle that kind of thing. You don't want to build a relationship on trust. Trust can't do any of that. The moment you break down trust, by definition, trust has got to take over, the breakdown of it. It's not going to bear that. You have violated my trust. And it's over, by definition. But spiritual love can do these things. People, I just want to say how powerful. We don't need all the stuff that's going on in our society today. This is powerful. Unbelievably simple and unbelievably powerful. And it does it to edify you so that you can edify others. Get them back into the spiritual life. Get them. Because our concern is not what they've done to me. Our concern is their relationship with the Lord. A husband and wife, if you truly love each other, if you truly love each other, maybe one thing that's more important. I want my wife to walk in the Spirit. I want my husband to walk in the Spirit and glorify our Savior in the short time we have on earth and do it in regard to each other. That's what I want for my wife. That's what I want for my husband. That's what I want for my children. I want them to walk in the Spirit and glorify the Lord. Then I will reap benefits from that, yes. But my desire is in a relationship with Christ. I want them in Christ. I want her in Christ. Glorifying Christ, being transformed into the very image of our Savior. It's my paramount objective to be with Him, reconciled to Him. I want this believer who's hurt me reconciled with God. Not me. If they're reconciled with God, then it'll be right between us. So this is what it means when it says it will edify. So love edifies. Spiritual love is the perfect bond of unity. Spiritual love is the more excellent way. Spiritual love is the goal. It's the goal of the Christian life. Our relationship with each other is essential to the Christ-like love. It's the whole concept of 1 John and of many of the passages by Paul and Peter and the other writers. But we can't do this. And don't think we can. We cannot do this. In fact, the flesh rejects it because the flesh cares about itself. You've got to realize that. See, if you can understand the immune system, the thing about an immune system is the first primary principle of an immune system is identification of self. Identification of self. And flesh identifies self as the old man. Me. Me. That's why I want to be in control. Nobody's going to hurt me. Nobody's going to do me wrong. Me, me, me. And I'm not going to bow down to anybody, and I'm not going to be anybody. And when somebody's wrong, I'm not going to kowtow to them. Spiritual love doesn't even consider one wrong. Now, spiritual love, it's the same thing as an immune system. It identifies self. But who are you really? Who you are is a new man in Christ. This is who spiritual love recognizes you in Christ. It doesn't recognize this man. It recognizes you in Christ. Now, you in Christ and Christ in you. What was Christ's whole ministry about? Reconciling man to God. See how this whole thing, it just sticks. The more we go into this understanding of what and how spiritual love functions. All right, now, 1 Corinthians chapter 8:1, love edifies. Very quickly, we study the Greek word. The word is the present tense. It's progressive. The more you love with the love that Christ loved you, the more spiritual love establishes you and edifies you, builds an edifice inside of you that will protect you from the arrogance, protect you from the things that would quickly draw you out of a relationship with Christ. People, there are going to be people, you know it, we're just talking now, there are going to be people that are just going to be able to get you out of the plan of God. I mean, you just the way they say good morning, you want to punch them. They're just that way. So what are we going to do? Well, I need to understand them. No, no, no. You don't need to go buy books. What I need to do is to edify my own soul with spiritual love and let the love of Jesus Christ do this. But there's going to be people that we're going to come in contact with in life. There are going to be people that hurt us, people that let us down, all of these types of things. So what's going to guide me in these relationships? Spiritual love, if we'll allow it. If we'll walk by faith and allow His Spirit to pour this love into us, this is what will guide us. So all the relationships, this whole thing that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I use it because it's so popular, it's on TV and all this stuff, and I guess I better get the proper name if I'm going to use it, but, you know, men from Mars, women from Jupiter, and all this kind of stuff, and I got to know all about the way women are, and then it gets more complex than that. I got to know all about women and why women are the way they are, but then I'm learning now I got to learn about the way they are at stages in their life. A teenage woman's different than a woman in her 20s, and that woman's different than a woman here, and that one, and then the women are different in this, and then they're different in the month, and then they're different. Oh, I've got too much to learn about women. Just forget it. Ah, men, that ought to be easy. Let's learn about men. Find out they're more competent. There's always a little child in it, I'm told. Well, I don't know where the child's going to pop up or not. And then just get some more. Forget it, people. Get something that transcends our sexual makeup. Transcends our personalities. Is there something that powerful? I'm going to be able to do all of those kinds of things. And just when I think I've got it, it's going to throw a curve. It isn't going to work. Let's go to this book. And let's have this life flowing through. because people, you're not going to ever learn enough about the way people are at different times. You're not going to. But if you walk in this love that the Holy Spirit pours in, He is in them, He is in you, if they're a believer, and He will guide you. His love will guide you in dealing with them. People, either we're going to start testing what God has given to us, or we're not. Either everything I'm saying, it just sounds nice, but it doesn't really work, or it does. Either God, the Holy Spirit, is this powerful, and spiritual love is all the power that the Bible says it is, or it isn't, and I need all this other stuff. It's that simple. And I believe it. I believe in the power of spiritual love flowing through when I see all the things that it does and can do between people. It transcends the sexes. It transcends the personality. See, and then another thing that happens when you feed all this garbage. Well, this is the way men are, and this is the way women are. And honey, you're just going to have to adjust to that, because that's the way I am, because I'm a man, or because I'm a woman. You're just going to have to get used to me sitting here with the TV clicker and clicking all the way through, because that's what men do, and I'm a man. In other words, to heck with spiritual love. To heck with caring about you and loving you and being sensitive of you. You've got to learn how I am and put up with it. People, that's wrong. That's not spiritual love. That's justifying my flesh nature. That's justifying how insensitive I can be and how insensitive I should be, because I'm this way. And they've got Christians believing this garbage, but that's the way they are. And walking away from a power that contains that. And work through that. Either I believe it or I don't. I believe it. And I don't care how many people leave, how many people I send, or how many churches I'm kicked out of, I believe in this power right here that I'm talking about, people. With all my heart. The person will walk in spiritual love. It will guide. You don't sit there and find some reason why people ought to put up with you because of the way you are and cop out on that. Spiritual love will not allow you to do it. Spiritual love cares about the other person. Spiritual love will sacrifice my rights. As we've seen, I have a right to eat good food in a temple restaurant. I have that right. But I'm not going to eat it. Spiritual love sacrifices even when the other person is wrong. You are wrong in trying to control me. Therefore, I'm not going to let you. Spiritual love doesn't say that. Doesn't consider when it's wrong. It cares about one thing. Reconciling the other person to God. Getting that other person back into a relationship with the Lord in the Spirit-filled life. That's what it cares about. I care about Christ. I care about your relationship with Christ more than I care about me. That's what spiritual love says. It's simple, but it's so difficult. It's so difficult to do because the flesh is totally against spiritual love. The flesh is so against looking like a fool and looking weak. And you will. If you love as Christ loved, you will look weak and you will look like a fool. People, so did my Savior, hanging on a cross. He looked like a fool and he looked weak. That the Romans could come along and just drive nails through his hand and put him on a cross. That the Jews could sit on him, beat him up, and blaspheme him. He looked like a fool and he looked weak. Because of what he did, I'm reconciled to God. And so are you. This is what spiritual love will do. This is what spiritual love is designed to do. It's that powerful. Get into all kinds of complication in relationships. This person's wrong. This person's bad. And you start talking and talking with married couples, and it just goes, he says, and just going back and forth. Everybody wants to be right. instead of wanting to reconcile in a relationship with God. Spiritual love isn't about being right. It is about being right with God. That's what it's concerned with. The active voice, very important. Active voice. What is the active voice, and why do I say it's important? Because I don't want you to forget this. The active voice. In the active voice, the subject produces the action of the verb. The subject produces the action of the verb. Now, the action of the verb is to edify. To edify. This is what we're studying, to edify. Now, what's the subject of that verb? Love. Love is the subject. The subject of the verb produces the action of the verb of edifying. What my point being is, you and I don't do this. We can't do this. But if we will walk in the Spirit by faith, He pours, we studied this in Romans, He, the Holy Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit, pours this love into us. It's love that does it. What the other person is seeing is the love of Christ. What they're seeing is, especially in some of the examples I've used, what they're seeing is Christ suffering in shame and weakness and looking like a fool on the cross. They're seeing it just in a very personal husband-wife relationship, local church relationship, friendship relationship, acquaintance relationship. But we're just so concerned, I don't want to look weak and I don't want to look like a fool. So I'm not going to be concerned about reconciliation with each other or with Christ. But don't say you love is Christ, because Christ looked like a fool and he looked weak on that cross. And it reconciles you to God forever. Forever. This is why it's so powerful, people. And all you want to tell me knowledge? Knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of people, knowledge of the opposite sex, and knowledge of people in various circumstances of life is powerful. People that doesn't even begin to compare. The blowing of the breath compared to nuclear power. Doesn't even compare to what spiritual love will do. It'll edify you, it'll edify others, and bring them into a relationship with Christ, which should be, and will be if you're in the Spirit, which should be our objective in the Christian life. That should be our objective. So this is how. When you're loving as Christ loved, spiritual love edifies you, edifies the other person, edifies the relationship, brings into reconciliation. And if we have that kind of concept in mind, let's just continue reading now. Love is long-suffering. That's edifying you. Love is kind. That edifies the other person. Love is not jealous. That edifies you. See, what does the flesh do, people? Here's jealousy. What does the flesh do? The flesh sees somebody else promoted. The flesh sees somebody else succeed. The flesh sees somebody else get a little something. And the flesh is offended and is attacked and is what? Is frightened. That's what jealousy is. We're immediately frightened. Immediately, I'm on the guard now. You know, somebody's getting ahead of me. Somebody's going to take what belongs to me. And so jealousy comes into play. People, love is not jealous. It's not jealous. So it edifies you. God can bless somebody else. Satan can bless somebody else, and it not at all interfere with your spiritual life. Sorry, turn back to the other page. I knew you'd be able to tell anything. I couldn't tell anything. Inside of you, somebody else out here is prospered in some way. It doesn't ruin your spirit-filled life by faith, because you're not going to get jealous. You're not going to get bent out of shape. You're not going to say, well, I wonder why they got it all. I wonder why they got this. I wonder this, and that's what they got belongs to me, and all the rest of it. No, love, spiritual love, not being jealous, edifies you. There's love. God can do whatever he wants to with others. Satan can do whatever he wants to with others. It's not going to interfere with your spiritual life. Look at the next one. I won't do this all the way through. We don't have time. But, oh my goodness, where has it gone? I'll wager I preach tonight instead of just teaching. All right, here. Look over here. What about boasting? What does boasting do? What boasting means is this. Boasting is going to edify others. Not boasting. It's going to edify others and allow them. Because what this does is, God here, not jealous, let me put it out here, not being jealous, what this means is God can prosper someone else and not hurt your spirit life. Now, not boasting. Let me tell you what not boasting means. Not boasting, that's what comes out from me. God can bless you. God can bless you without others getting all bent out of shape and losing their spirit life. God can do something wonderful in your life, and because of the way you handle it, they're able to maintain their spiritual life. They're able to maintain and continue to walk in the Spirit. They're able to enjoy with you your enjoyment. If you take somebody who boasts, somebody who likes to brag, somebody who likes to just kind of nudge somebody they're competing with, and that other person, they lose their spiritual life. Why do they lose their spiritual life? Not just because God has blessed you, but because you have no spiritual life. You've got to have to get into your thinking. The spiritual love cares about others. Let's just go through some of these. Love is not arrogant. That's edifying you inside. Love does not act unbecoming. That's powerful. Oftentimes you can tell whether or not you're walking in faith just by looking at the way you're acting. It's just the way spiritual love acts. God cares how spiritual love acts, people. So first of all, it edifies you inside by not being arrogant, and it edifies others and relationships by not acting unbecoming. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Love does not take into account wrong. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, we'll come to what that means, hopes all things, endures all things, you can get a glimpse of what that means without some work on it. And then it says love never fails. People, it never fails. If I get my books out and I read all about the way the opposite sex is, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. I promise you, you're going to miss it. Because they're just not going to get, you can't get it all in there every time. But if you're walking in love, if you're walking in the power of the Spirit, you won't miss it, people. If you are in the Spirit, you won't miss it. Love will not fail. It's amazing. It won't fail. So this is how it edifies you, edifies others, bringing them back into a proper reconciliation with God. And it edifies, now it's ready to be the third thing. That's why we're going to change the order. First, it edifies you, maintains your spiritual life. Then it edifies the other person that has offended you, puts them back into the spiritual life, into reconciliation with God. So it first edified you. Secondly, it's edified them. And now it's edified the relationship. People, that's positive. That's powerful. And only love is said to do it. The love of Christ. The love that the Holy Spirit pours into us. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this wonderful opportunity to take time to examine some aspects of the spiritual love that the Holy Spirit pours into us. Father, we can begin to grasp all that this love can do both within us and in regard to relationships and with other people in life. But the place that you have given to it throughout all Scripture is that which we should pursue in our life and desire to have flowing through us and from us. Is the love with Christ has loved me. The love that put him on the cross for me. The way that he loved each of us, Heavenly Father, is the way we want to love others. And the same effect that his love brings to me is the effect, Heavenly Father, that that love will bring to others. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, that you have given to us your love. You have given to us your righteousness at the cross, and now if we will reproduce that love and that faith in our life, you give to us your love. You've held nothing back from us. What an awesome God you are. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.